Ezekiel chapter 3. We've read in the last chapter of how Ezekiel was called to be a prophet and was given a really difficult ministry to go to people who would not listen and would not hear, and a scroll that's symbolizing the word of God that he had to preach appeared to him. And now he's told, "Son of man, eat what you find, eat this scroll, and go and speak to the house of Israel." So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat the scroll. So you might have thought, how can I eat a scroll?
And how did he eat the scroll?
That's right, how did he eat the scroll? Well, he must have been thinking the same. How can I eat this scroll? I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat it. So it was a miracle. But the point is, he opened his mouth. And we saw the beginning of chapter 2, how God says, "Stand up on your feet." And then the Spirit, it says, stood him on his feet. So he was told, stand up, and he starts to stand up, and the Spirit makes him stand up. Same here, he's given a scroll, and he's told, eat it. And he thinks, just like David asked, how can I eat a scroll? But he opened his mouth, he was willing, and God confirmed him and made him eat the scroll by a miracle.
He ate it all up.
He ate it all up, that's right. He said to me, "Son of man, cause your belly to eat and fill your stomach with this scroll that I give you." Then I ate it, and it was as sweet as honey in my mouth. So that was a surprise to him. He said to me, "Son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak my words to them." So he's told then that he's got to eat this scroll, and it is sweet because David says, "Your word is sweeter than honey." But actually, it's got a very bitter message for the Jews who wouldn't repent. "Son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak my words to them. You are not sent to a people of a foreign speech or a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many peoples of a foreign speech and a hard language whose words you can't understand. If I sent you to them, they would listen to you." The Gentiles would have been more interested. "But the house of Israel will not listen to you, for they will not listen to me. For all the house of Israel are obstinate and hard-hearted." So when we're preaching the gospel, we are really the mouth of God to people, and how they treat us is how they treat God. They won't listen to us, they won't listen to God. "Behold, I have made your face hard against their faces, and your forehead hard against their foreheads. As an adamant harder than flint have I made your forehead. Don't be afraid of them, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they are a rebellious house." So he was strengthened in his mind. You could say he was psychologically strengthened. And it's the same with Jeremiah, right at the beginning of his ministry, that he's strengthened. He likewise says, "I can't go and do this, I'm a child." And God says, "No, I'll make you strong." And so if we think, "Ooh, I'm just too shy," that's what I often feel, "I'm too shy to preach, how can I preach?" And yet God will give you the strength in your mind. "Moreover, he said to me, 'Son of man, all my words that I shall speak to you, receive in your heart and hear with your ears.'" So our witness to people is not just repeating God's word, but from our heart. Remember how Jeremiah cried tears in his message because he really believed it, what he was preaching. "Go to them of the captivity, to the children of your people, and speak to them and tell them, 'Thus says the Lord,' whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Then the Spirit lifted me up, and I heard behind me the voice of a great rushing, saying, 'Blessed be the glory of Yahweh from his place.' I heard the noise of the wings of the living creatures as they touched one another, and the noise of the wheels beside them, the noise of a great rushing." This is the cherubim vision he'd seen in chapter 1. So there he was thinking, "Oh, how can I go to preach to these people? But yeah, okay, I'll go." And then whoosh, the Spirit came. And that awesome vision that he'd seen in chapter 1 of the cherubim whirling around and all God's angels and chariots and everything, that was going to be with him. So if you want to go into all the world and preach the gospel, as Jesus says, "Go and preach the gospel in all the world. Behold, I am with you to the end of the age." And so this is how it is with us, that if you want to go and preach, God's spirit will be behind you. So the spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit. And the hand of Yahweh was strong on me. So although he said yes, he was also very, very bitter. So that wasn't the best attitude, but God still worked with him. Then I came to them of the captivity at Tel Abib by the river Kibar and to where they lived, and I sat there overwhelmed among them 7 days. So he really ought to have gone and preached to them straight away, but he doesn't. It happened at the end of 7 days that the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of man, I have made you a watchman to the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word from my mouth and give them warning from me. So it could be that God's saying to Ezekiel, go ahead and do it. Come on, you're sitting there 7 days not saying anything. When I tell the wicked, you will surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that wicked man will die in his iniquity, but you have saved your own life. So he's saying, well, you've got a responsibility, Ezekiel. Don't sit here for 7 days. Get on and do the job that I've given you to do, and my spirit is behind you to do it. And if you do warn the wicked, well, you can save these people. So get on and do it. When a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. And God does that. He does put a stumbling block before people to test them. Because you have not given him warning, he shall die in his sin. His righteous deeds which he has done shall not be remembered. His blood will I require at your hand. So if you don't preach when you're told to, and those people who you could have preached to don't respond, it's no good thinking, God will raise up someone else like he might have done at the time of Esther. Well, not necessarily. Maybe the blood of those people, their eternal life, the way they missed out on eternity, will be demanded of you. But if you warn the righteous man that the righteous not sin and he doesn't sin, he will surely live because he took warning, and you have saved your own life. The hand of Yahweh was there on me, and he said to me, arise, go forth into the plain, and I will there talk with you. I arose and went forth into the plain, and the glory of Yahweh stood there, as the glory which I saw by the river Kibar, and I fell on my face. The Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet, and he spoke with me and said to me, go, shut yourself inside your house. Son of man, behold, they will put shackles on you and will bind you, and you shall not go out among them. I will make your tongue stick to the roof of your mouth, that you shall be mute and unable to reprove them. For they are a rebellious house. But when I speak with you, I will open your mouth, and you shall tell them, thus says the Lord, he who hears, let him hear, and he who refuses, let him refuse. For they are a rebellious house. So Ezekiel was struck dumb, and the only times he could speak were when God gave him a message to speak. And you see that they actually put Ezekiel effectively in prison. They shall put shackles on you and shall bind you, and you shall not be able to go out. So when you tell people the message, they don't just laugh at you. There's a hole in every human heart and conscience that only God can really fit. And when you tell people that, they get very, very upset. And they shoot the messenger. They want to get rid of you, like they try to kill Jeremiah when he preached to them. And so with Ezekiel, they locked him up and they put these shackles on him. So he wasn't allowed to go out and preach to them. So you can see what you're up against. That when you preach the gospel, it's not just that some people say, oh, wonderful, thanks for telling me. And some people say, oh, no thanks. Actually, you will find opposition from people, and that is as sure as day follows night. That is what will happen. But God will be with us, as he was with Ezekiel and all his true people.